The Word of God from Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth, until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And on this Easter Friday, it is a great opportunity to bring this message on the dying thief, the man who was saved in a day, brought directly into paradise, and a model of the power of the gospel to save the worst of the sinners, as we often say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. And I trust that today you'll stay tuned with us as we bring the message from our pulpit on how this dying thief came to a true confession, why we accept his profession of faith as genuine, because we have to be careful that we don't just say anybody that lips the name of Jesus is going to be a Christian. But certainly this man, all that he said and all that he defended concerning the Lord Jesus, we see the light of the gospel entering into his heart. And of course, it is our prayer that you come to this personal assurance of salvation by believing the gospel, that the Lord Jesus did not die on that cross as just an example, but that he died in our place as our substitute, bearing our sins and taking our punishment, that we would never have to bear it. We don't imitate Christ on the cross. We accept and receive all the gift of his salvation. May the Lord bless you today through his word. Today
we come to the second utterance of our Lord at the cross of Calvary, and our text is going to be verse 43. Verse 43. And these words, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful thing to meet this dying thief in heaven. Now then, of course, he will be the living thief. He will be raised up. He will be glorified in the likeness of the Lord. But I'm not sure if he will ever shake off the name, the thief. That's going to be a tough thing for him. For all eternity, he will be remembered as the one who hung alongside that cross, a malefactor, a criminal, a thief. And now that he is saved, converted, and now that he's in glory, how's he ever going to shake off that title, that name, that link to being a thief? Now, most likely he will still carry it in heaven when for so many centuries Saints have known him as one of the thieves hanging on that cross beside the Lord Jesus. Now then, of course, he will not look like a thief. He will not have the hood of a burglar. He will not look like someone who is sketchy. He is going to be changed into the wonderful image of the Lord. If he's not changed, then he will be a thief, because he shouldn't be in heaven. And this really is a great tribute to the power of the gospel. Because here is a man who in his lifetime was a criminal, and yet now he is fitted for heaven. But let me ask you this. Why was the Lord Jesus crucified alongside two thieves? Now, there are a number of clear answers to that. Firstly, it was a fulfillment of prophecy, because it was said in Isaiah 53 that he would be numbered among the transgressors. And there, part of the curse, part of the shame of his crucifixion was that on either side were these two wretches, two notorious criminals, men that you wouldn't open your door to, men that you wouldn't trust for a moment. And they were filthy criminals. And our Lord was right in the center between these two vicious criminal men. It was also a part, therefore, of our Lord's humiliation. He came from heaven. He came down in to dwell amongst men, the lowest of men and the deepest of sinners. Now, there's another answer to this, in that it was ordained that one of those thieves would be converted. And on that cross, during his hours of agony, that thief cried out for salvation, and the Lord marvelously heard him and saved him. Now, that brings another question. Why were not both of those thieves saved? Both of them were crucified alongside the Savior. Well, of course, we realize that God's salvation is owed to nobody, but God is pleased to save some. Not all will be saved, and not all will be lost. There is a people whom the Lord is pleased in his sovereign grace to save. Now, the amazing thing in this thief's conversion is that he was converted when the Lord was at his weakest. We read there in the Psalm 22 of those expressions of that physical weakness of the Lord, when physically he was tormented and tortured and thirsting, when his body was being crucified on that cross. It was in that hour that the miracle happened, that this thief was given a new life and a new destiny, that he was saved. The thief was converted when there were no outward advertising of a mighty Savior. Indeed, to look on Christ at that moment, men would conclude there's no hope here. But truth entered into that thief's heart. Faith was given him, and he was able to cry out, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And of course, he wanted the Lord to keep him in his mind. And here was faith coming to full light and confidence in the Savior. Before his prayer, he had been cursing in rebellion. Then in his prayer, he was crying out for a part in the Savior's kingdom. What a swift transformation in this man's heart. And the truth is that the knowledge of the Lord dawned upon the man. That's what conversion is. That's what the miracle of regeneration is. Truth, the truth as it is in Jesus, dawning upon the human heart. And that's how we are saved. That's how we're converted. In an instant, the light comes on, and we begin to understand the wonder and the grace of God. Now, our attention today is going to be drawn to another question. The question of the Savior's response. Calvary on that day was a very noisy place. It was the place that was thronged with multitudes, crowds of onlookers. There were Roman soldiers busy at their work, gambling for the Savior's clothes. It was Passover, when multitudes were walking the roads and the streets in and out of the city. And it could be argued that this was the very crossroads of the world. Certainly was the crossroads of Judaism. And here in this busy place, when this man cried out, the Lord heard him. Now, in stark contrast, in past times, the Lord remained silent before Pilate, before those who nailed him to the cross. There was no protest, there was no crying out. And here, when this repentant sinner calls on the Lord, immediately there is a response, an answer to the cry for salvation. And as he prayed the prayer, Lord, remember me, the Savior spoke to him. And you'll notice what he said to him there in verse 43, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And that means truly, absolutely. And here is a response of certain acceptance as this man cried out. And this does not tell us it does tell us that any man anywhere can be saved at any time, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how deep your sin, there is power with the Lord to save mightily. So our theme today really is going to be the reception that this man had when he cried out, Lord, remember me. We're going to be putting ourselves into the position of this repentant thief. Light has dawned. He's recognized who the Lord is and what he can do. And he cries out, remember me. How does the Lord respond? The Lord's way of dealing with this inquirer for salvation. It's like someone coming to us after the church and saying, I need to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I want to give up my old life. And I have seen my error. And I want to trust in the Lord. What do I do? How do we respond? Well, we see here that the thief was received prayerfully. He was received instantly. He was received certainly. And he was received completely. And those areas will cover it. So let's look at here in our Bibles and you'll see the prayer. The cry of the thief was really a prayer. And prayer is to use words and to cry out unto the Lord. And he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And so there was a revelation to this. Now in verses 41 and 42, you can see that he recognized his own sin. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And there was light shining into his heart. But he also recognized the Lord, and there was a revelation of the Lord. There was light shining into the heart of this man while he hung there upon the cross. And here is that spark of light. And then you'll see there in verse 41 that he speaks of his own condemnation. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing amiss, but we are here justly. Now to come to that conclusion was a great deal of recognition. Now what about you today? If you're going to be saved, if you're going to truly repent, you need to recognize these things. That the condition you're in, the condemnation you're in is just. That the wrath of God upon a sinner's head is deserved. While the Lord Jesus hath done nothing amiss. That's the two contrasts. I'm a sinner. Jesus is a mighty, pure, perfect Savior. And that really is the light that you need, a sinner needs. I'm a sinner. I am in this condition justly. We're not contending with God and saying, I don't deserve this. But we are accepting it. But Jesus has done nothing amiss. He is the true Savior. And so if that is the confession of your heart, if that is your state of your soul today, yes, Your prayer will be heard and you will be answered. Now, it was a prayer of contrition. So you can call it a prayer of recognition, firstly. Recognize his own sinnership, recognize the Lord had done nothing amiss. But now there's the prayer of contrition. Remember, don't leave me alone to my fate, to fend for myself. Now we know that the Lord Jesus was to die first. He would, on that cross, commit his own soul to the Father even before the physical death would come to him. The Lord offered up himself to the Father, so he died first, somewhere around the third hour of that day. And there he gave up his spirit to the Father. But here is the prayer of contrition of this man on the cross, this dying thief. He cries out, "Remember me, remember me." Now, that is the cry that a sinner needs to make, and you need to make if you would be saved. You cannot face eternity alone without a Savior. You dare not cross over into death without your soul trusting completely in the Lord Jesus. Now, think of the state of this man as he was dying. He was literally dying on that cross. Weakness was coming upon him. I'm sure he felt dizzy. I'm sure he felt lightheaded. He felt strength draining out of him. At any moment, he may close his eyes for the last. And he was saying, "Lord, remember me. Don't leave me in this condition." And so he cried out in that prayer. But it's also a prayer for participation. "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Lord, I want to be part of it." Now, this thief saw in a flash what the scribes and the Pharisees had crucified the Lord for. He saw the spiritual kingdom. He saw what it meant to be with Christ as Lord and King of Kings. Somehow he saw all of this. Now, I'm not sure how much he understood about eschatology and how the great events of the last day would happen, but he understood that Christ was the head of a great spiritual kingdom, a church, and that he would come again and gather his church together, and he wanted to be a part of all of that. Whichever it was, he wanted to be included. And he said, "Remember me, don't count me out." And surely there are souls all around us each day that we meet, and we need to see them brought to this confession, this recognition that they need to be a part of Christ's kingdom. I hope today that you're a Christian. I hope that you are in Christ and that you're saved and that you are leaning upon the Lord and you are a participant entering into the kingdom of God. Now we come to the word today. Today. And this thief was received instantly. Today. Now this is the wonder of this man's salvation. As to time, we know that it was before Christ died. And the Lord died somewhere around 3 p.m. at the close of the 3 hours of darkness. Today, in Jewish terms, that day would end around 6 p.m. So within 3 hours of the Savior dying and of this man dying, it was the same day. Now, this obviously was beyond any man's expectation. This man would be in glory sooner than he ever expected. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And he rose that day a condemned sinner in the cell where he had been in prison. Oh, the stench of the prison cell and the fear and the condemnation that he was under as he was led out of that cell. And that same very day, his soul would be in heaven with the Lord. What amazing, amazing answer this was. And so, for souls here, if you're a Christian, you'll be in heaven sooner than you think. There's no guarantee that we're going to live to 80 years old, or even 70, or any particular age, but the Lord can come and call us and take us home any hour, beyond expectation. And before he expired. The thief needed to have his soul saved before his breath left his body. And there is no transfer of the soul after death into eternity. As soon as the breath leaves the body and the soul departs for heaven or hell, there is a great gulf fixed. And so he needed to be converted and saved that very day. And so grace and salvation must enter before life expires. Are you saved now? That's the question. Are you saved this moment, today? What if death comes to you before you're even saved? You're lost. You would be as the thief that died without Christ. But I pray that you be as this thief who was guaranteed life by calling on the Lord. Now then, there's illumination as well. You may reason that this is not possible. How can a man come to this conclusion in such a short period of time? Does he not need to grow up in the church? Does he not need to learn Scripture? Does he not need to learn the catechism? Does he not need some Bible knowledge that he might be brought to all of this? Maybe even baptism or membership in the church? None of those things. This man was ready for heaven in an instant. There was illumination in his soul. He was spirit taught on many things. He understood future life. He understood the sinfulness of himself. He understood the sinlessness of Christ. He understood the Godhood of Christ because he referred to him as Lord. And he understood the Saviorhood of Christ because he referred to his kingdom. He understood all of those things. Suddenly, vast knowledge was given to him. That's the illuminating work of the grace of God. And of course, it's not church and learning that saves the soul. It is new life in Christ. Today, what about it? Today, giving your heart, giving your life to the Lord as your Lord and Savior. And so he was received prayerfully. He was received instantly. He was also received certainly. Look at the word shalt. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I have to confess that there would be no such certainty in our minds as we read this account if the Lord had not pronounced this. If this had not been the Lord speaking, we would say, I'm not so sure about that. But the Lord leaves us with no uncertainty. He leaves it very clear. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And there's no other conclusion that we can come to if we take the words of Scripture, the words of these gospel writers. This man was in heaven. And so deathbed conversions are possible. And we have to recognize that. No matter what we think of deathbed conversions or of sudden conversions, and no matter what we think of the inconsistency of some who make professions of faith, this man went immediately and safely into heaven. And there's no other possible conclusion to this account. To state anything else is to deny what these gospel writers wrote. It's to deny the Bible, and it would even deny the gospel. And so, however many times people ask the question, can people be converted in their last hours or even in their last moments of life? We come back to this event and we get assurance that it is possible. And we have to allow for the possibility that any man or woman who knows the gospel and who in that last dying moment, whether it's in a hospital bed or in a car wreck or in some emergency situation, that in those closing moments, that it is possible that they would call out, cry to the Lord for mercy, and the Lord will hear. Now that seems, in our mind, questionable. That's why I'm majoring on this point. We have to leave room for the fact that there may be in that last hour or even minutes, God's mercy will be found, and that sinners may close with Christ. Now, of course, we may not be there to witness it. We may not be there to hear their cry or their prayer. And we don't hear the Lord's voice as Jesus on that cross, "Today thou shalt be with me." But in the scheme of the gospel, that's between that soul and God. And there may be many surprises when we get to heaven of those we thought all their lifetime resisted the gospel, like this criminal. And in Matthew's account, both these men blasphemed the Lord. Both of them reeled in the teeth of the Savior. And this man was guilty right up to this closing hours of his life of being a Christ hater and rejecter. And yet amazingly, in that last scene of his life, the Lord says, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, if you're here today and you're wondering, can I be saved as quickly and instantly and assuredly? The answer is an absolute yes. This man was saved certainly. And you can be saved certainly. If you believe, if you call, if you repent, if you cry out, "Lord, remember me." Me. Now, that's not the person beside you. That's not your mom and dad. That's not your friends. That's you. "Lord, remember me. I'm the one that needs salvation." You may say, "Well, what, did he wait for the other thief to join him?" No, he cried out himself, "Lord, remember me." The us, the need of others, well, that's genuine, but "Lord, it's me that I'm crying out to thee for." And you need to make that personal call, that cry to the Lord for salvation.
The conversion of the dying thief is a tremendous model of how an individual can be sure of personal salvation. If ever anyone had personal salvation, it was the dying thief on the cross. And I bid you to receive the Lord Jesus by calling out unto him, acknowledging him as the Savior of sinners, and put yourself into his hands for salvation. Just cry out, "Lord, remember me, save me."
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.